Well, here's one for you coming up next week at the Town and Gown Pub and Theatre. This is the sort of thing. These are one of these little gems that comes your way, and I think this could be really quite something. The show is called Sellouts, and that's sell spelt with a C, not an S. It is a dark comedy written and performed by two ex-prison officers, and those ex-prison officers are Harriet and Ella, and they join me on the line now. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for having us.
No, real pleasure. I mean, this is a play about, based, I guess, on your time as prison officers. Just like people who, doctors who come out of the health, Harry Hill, for example, and people like that who come out of the health service and base jokes upon totally upon their life as a doctor in a hospital. Is this what we're going to expect? You say dark comedy, but is this what we're going to expect?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we say dark comedy. I think a lot of people in many different public sectors develop quite a dark sense of humour, and the prison is no exception to that. We've all seen kind of this is going to hurt style stuff, and I think it's a similar vibe. It's quite bleak at times, but we do find the funny side. And I mean, we saw firsthand in prison that if there's one thing you can do in quite dire situations, it's find a way to laugh it. I think that's human nature. So that's hopefully comes through in the show.
The phrase gallows humour springs to mind, but now's probably not the time to use it. I mean, looking at you both, because we're meeting on Zoom, you know, you're both very young looking. Were you straight out of uni into the prison service? And what drove you to do that?
We were fresh-faced 21-year-olds, naive, thinking we had a bit of life experience and realising very quickly we did not. No. So we went in straight off after university. And I think we wanted to do something in social justice. We wanted to do something in social reform. We had a lot of energy and a lot of goodwill, but maybe that was as far as it went. And we were trained for about 6 weeks, not very well, safe to say, no proper mental health training, no psychology training, nothing. And then we were plonked onto the landings at 21. So I was working in a women's prison and Harriet was working in a men's. So very, very different roles, very different traumatizing experiences in different ways. But yeah, you could argue that maybe we were a bit young.
Well, especially because, as you say, so many people there will have been there presumably for a while. Most of them, I would guess, are going to be at least a bit older, probably substantially older than you. Yet you're the ones in the uniform. You're the ones with the keys. You're the ones in authority. That must be a bit of a challenge.
Exactly. You're sort of telling 6-year-old men and women to go behind their door and you're a 21-year-old. Like, that makes no sense. You're telling people your parents' age what to do. And so when you sort of find yourself on a landing having to shout to, 120 prisoners to all lock up, you're sort of just crossing your fingers that they're going to do as you say, because what gives you the authority? And I think that's what the play examines. It's like what this power does to people and who should have that and who should be able to tell anyone to go in a small metal room and lock the door.
Yeah. I mean, it is a bit of a trick, isn't it? And you can see how, in one way, you might think, right, I've got to go in here, all guns blazing, I'm going to stamp my authority on this, and that's going to work one way with one particular group, or else there's that danger on the other way that you get too close and you think, that's okay, I'm going to manage by consent and everyone's going to like me. And there are going to be those who are going to be looking for the smallest chink in the armour, aren't they? And they're going to get that.
That's exactly. Oh, I mean, do you want to speak about our different experiences?
Yeah, I think Ella worked in the women's, as she said, and I think that the difference with, I mean, you've just outlined the two options that you get, and I think people tend to go men's, we go one way, women's estate, we go the other. And that is a really patriarchal gender thing, but those environments are the most extreme versions of masculinity and femininity. Like, you kind of play up to these gender roles. And, you know, for me as a woman, even though I went into, you know, I went into a male estate and I doubled down on like aggression, power and authority. And, you know, you might be looking at me and anyone who comes to the show, I might not look like I can do that, but you do get to a point with those environments of extreme ends of kind of toxic masculinity where, yeah, that is the language everyone uses. You only speak in the language of kind of violence and authority. And so that is the way you go. Whereas I think for you, Els, you know, your experiences working with women, that doesn't work. That's not how you interact. That's not how you manage and de-escalate and control situations. It has to be through interpersonal skills and relationship building. And, you know, that is the case to the male estate, but in a different, in a very different way. And I think, yeah, you're kind of forced down these two paths, and everyone does seem to assimilate. Like, I, you know, you don't see that many officers who are able to find a different way. You're forced by this structure and this system to really fit that role and that mold.
Yeah, as you said, the role, what that does to you as well. Like, it I suppose we often say that we went two ways. I sort of became traumatized and Harriet became brutalized. I became far too involved with the women's lives. And I really, it's so hard. You have to have very, very strict boundaries in place as an officer, of course. But when you are working with women who are the majority of the time, like 79% of them are survivors of domestic abuse, and they've had these horrific lives. So you're not going to go in there and you can't just shout and be early and get, because it won't work, because they themselves are victims of this system. So yeah, I probably became traumatized and you became brutalized, and I became quite soft church and you became quite hardline.
Yeah, it's a heady mix.
So at what point did you both decide that actually we need to get out of here, but we need to take this on the road and tell the story to people? How did that come about?
I think the point where both of our mental health had got so poor because of the job, because of the lack of sleep, because of stuff you're dealing with, the violence and the self-harm, the suicide, it got to sort of extreme points where we were like, this job has changed us to the point of recognition. We don't really recognize each other anymore. And so we maybe need to get out, because clearly we don't have strong enough boundaries.
Or, you know, we have the kind of boundaries that can recognize that actually all that change and all that energy we came in with, it's not happening here. Like, it's not being channeled here. And, you know, and losing that side of ourselves was really an important trigger to be like, okay, fine, it's not working. We can't change it from the inside. That's what the conclusion we've come to. We can't do that. How can we change it from the outside? Like, what? Because people just don't understand. I mean, we couldn't articulate it initially. We couldn't articulate to people that world. And that's something you hear officers say all the time. Officers don't go home and tell their families what they're going through. They don't tell their partners. They can't explain it to their friends because it's such an alien environment for most people to understand. Like, you know, everyone's gone to school. Everyone's gone into a hospital at some point. We can picture those environments. Prison for lots of people is completely inaccessible. You can't imagine it. So we kind of wanted to try and help officers, to help people who've been inside, to help members of the public to sort of picture or just understand it, and maybe start to think a little bit differently about what that environment is doing to our society and what impact it's really having and how many people it's hurting that we don't think about. We don't think about the nurses inside prison who are going through that kind of vicarious trauma. We don't think about the impact and the ripple that it's having in wider society. And the children of families, and, you know, that reach is huge and maybe quite unspoken about. So that was kind of why we wanted to take it out and use those, to invite people in to an environment that is traditionally very like, no entry. You can't see behind these walls.
This is going to be fascinating, because what I'm hearing from you is, you know, the idea for me of prison is that people go in there and they kind of have a chance to reflect on what they've done, and there is a mechanism in place to reform them, and they come out changed people. They've paid their price to society, and they come out as better people. And I was saying before we started this that I heard Jonathan Aitken, a disgraced MP who spent time in prison, he is now a prison chaplain. He came out, no longer an MP, got ordained. He's a prison chaplain now, helping people, especially first dayers coming in and things like that. And I think so. That to me is a classic case of that's what the system should be doing, and they're doing the right thing. They're trying to recruit, you know, bright young women like you with degrees, coming from university with ideas as to how it will change. But the day-to-day pressure, a bit like the NHS really, that day-to-day pressure on you to get stuff done, to keep things handled, because the prisons are overcrowded, none of you can do what you actually set out to do. So really we're pointing the finger straight at the government on this one, aren't we, and going, the prison service is the one that's going to come under fire. But actually, it's not their fault in so many ways, not their fault.
No, and absolutely. The people who are working there still, we take our hats off, they're our friends. really, really dear friends that we, yeah, take our hats off that they're still doing that work. People in the prison service are the most incredible and resilient people we have ever met, and they're comedians, and they are, yeah, wow. They're never the ones that we would want to critique in this show, and I hope that this show really uplifts them. And we've had great audience responses from officers and CMs and SOs all coming to watch it. But the issue is the system itself. As you said, like this concept of punishment and deterrence is never worked. You look at the from, you know, back to the Victorian age up until now, it's never worked. Reducing reoffending rates by deterrence or by claiming this punishment never worked.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like you said, we have this beautiful idea of this structure. And I think we believe there must be something, you know, there must be a structure in place that's helping these people. And it's quite terrifying to have the realization that it's not there and it's not real. And especially when we think about those people who re-enter society and who have served 6-week sentences and who are coming into the system again and again. And it's scary to think about as a society that that's what we're putting people through. And I think the prison sentence doesn't end when you get through the gates. It doesn't finish when you're released. Society isn't ready to accept people who've been in prison. We're not ready to do that as a society. And I think it doesn't matter how many fantastic people you put into a system and a structure, if that structure itself is set up in such a way that it cannot function. And I think that is the argument we would make, is it cannot function. Wow. And you can have all the brilliant people in the world and it's not going to work, and you're kind of punishing those people as well as the people inside. Everyone's suffering.
Indeed. Well, it comes to the Town and Gown next Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. It's evening performances at 7:30. Tickets are priced £12. It sounds to me like it's going to be an entertaining as well as a fascinating and insightful evening. I can't wait to see it. Sell out. It's coming to the Town and Gown. For now, Harriet and Ella, we could talk forever about this because we're never going to solve society's ills in just a few minutes. Thank you so much. Good luck with the show. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about it today.
Thank you so much.